Yo, guys, we are reporting live. We officially have an hour and a half before 2020. This is the last hour and a half of 2019, and I just want to say I'm super excited and blessed to have two of my bestest friends celebrate the new year with me. We have legend Steve Lee and your boy Zach Elk. Woo! Woo! And we're going to do this New Year's podcast, man. We're going to go into the 2020 because that's what it's all about, you know?
We got an old school Wang's gang here.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we started here in this, you know, I had another place.
In this decade.
And, you know, I'm just, I'm so grateful to be here with my two good friends doing this podcast into the fucking new year, guys. So you guys get to experience our last fucking hour of 2019. So, I mean, if I want to get into some shit right now, like, okay, so 2019, what is your biggest accomplishment and why? Or give me your top three. Top three, like, what did you do in 2019 that you could say, like, you know, like what's your top three 2019 moments and your three worst 2019 moments?
You go ahead.
Do you have a top three?
Traveling.
Okay, that's number one.
The fact that I got to travel so much to, like, different parts of the country that was, like, and I'm expecting in 2020 and, like, the 20s altogether just to travel outside of the country, to travel around the world. But
no,
I'm not at Steve Lee status yet.
No.
Well, when you go, when you say travel, where did you go to?
I went to Georgia multiple times, which I loved. I went to Portland multiple times, which I loved. I went to Portland, Maine, which was also fun.
Well, dude, the beer I got is from Portland, Maine. Look,
really?
Yeah. That's shipyard. So funny you said that. This is a Shipyard Brewing.
And you know what? Okay, so
yeah, Portland, Maine, right there. Portland, fucking Maine.
I will say this. I went to Maine in October, and it was about to be hibernation season. So, like, the last week, I essentially went the last week before, like, every place closed down because they're closed for the winter.
Okay.
But, like, just to know that I was there alone in a ghost town, it was, like, it was eerie, but it was also, like, very relaxing to know you're there by yourself.
It's hella fucking quiet. And yeah, the lights are out at, like, 8 p.m.
And when you get to go to, like, dope-ass, like, Old Orchard Beach, when you get to go to Portland, when you go to South Portland, all the, you get to go to lighthouses. Like,
yeah.
It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. Did you have the Maine lobster, though?
No,
that's,
I was
like
a vegetarian at that time.
Ah, fuck, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I asked Zach earlier, I was like, what would be your top three? What would be your meal if you're on death row?
Yeah.
And now that I just, now I think it would be Maine lobster. So something about.
It would be steak for me.
Something about the lobster in Maine, and when I had it, is that because the lobster out there, or wherever the, you know, that farthest part of the East Atlantic that's so potent,
you would choose lobster.
The lobster I had in Maine is one of the best meals in my life, dude.
Wow.
It was just it's big, it's chunky, it's like, you know, and they have it in butter. Like, me and my best friend, we drove all the way out to the farthest east of Maine to experience Maine lobster.
That's crazy.
And it was literally like eating a cheesesteak in Philly. It was like eating a taco in LA. It was like that symbolic to me, where I was just so blown away at the size of this fucking lobster and how fucking just tender that thing was.
Yeah, you're probably in Stephen King's back.
Yeah, we went to Bangor to see his fucking mansion, and it was like, you, when you drive through that area, you realize, like, why that guy started writing thrillers. And
because that place is dark.
Dark and creepy.
Isolated. It's so
super isolated, super creepy. You go in there at 8 p.m., every light is fucking out.
Yeah.
It's really, really like a movie that he would portray.
When my sister and I went to Maine.
So why are you going to Maine, though? Why,
no, we went to Maine in 2015. And when we went, it was crazy because we didn't even, like, we just went off of the train. So the train was kind of parallel to 91 freeway. And we went up to as far as Portland, but like Portland is only halfway to where Bancor was. And we wanted to get to there. Like, we wanted to try to get as close as we can to the Aurora Borealis and see the Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that wasn't the, that wasn't the time to go.
Okay, so traveling is one. Then what are the other two?
Stand up, because I would say, even though I'm not where I'm comfortable at being in comedy, the fact that I'm looking back still and I'm like, holy shit, dude, like I'm doing stand up now. And this is like a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like at the start of the decade, I never imagined myself doing stand up. And then I saw Russell Brand do comedy and I was like, you know, I want to try to do this.
How many years in are you now?
I'm five.
5 years in. Yeah. You're a strong five.
Five years? That's it?
2014.
I thought you'd been doing it way longer.
2013 was like part-time.
Zach was pretty new at the time I met him. 2000, fuck. When was Wang's? 2000?
Yeah, it was around 2014, 2015.
Yeah, because I know around that time you probably had been in the game for like maybe less than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stand-up, of course, and then the third?
Graduating college.
Oh, fuck yeah. Congrats. Where'd you graduate from?
Cal State LA.
No way.
Yeah. So right now, like, it's not.
Where's your degree?
Business. It's in communications.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
At the same time, like, I have no college debt. So that's another thing.
You paid off college debt. Fuck yes. That's amazing. That's amazing.
How did you do that?
Yeah.
Go to community college.
Oh, that's true. Huh?
Go to a community college.
That is true.
And you don't got to go to UCLA or USC.
So you
just go the practical route and the cheap route, which is, in my opinion, Cal State LA.
Wow. I love all three of those. Traveling, graduating college, and stand-up.
Stand-up. Yeah.
That's like fucking okay. So
biggest regret, probably not taking that stand-up course. That was at Pasadena City
with homie Temptation, right?
Yeah,
he met a dude like 9 years later that I'm in. When I first started, I was in a class with that guy.
Yeah,
and ironically, this is how connected me and Zach are. So Zach randomly meets this guy that tells him like we were in a class, and a day later, I see him at the mall.
That's so
and it's just like, what, dude? He's like, yeah, I talked to Zach. And okay, so you regret. Okay, what are the other two regrets? Love? Anything love related?
I had my first heartbreak this year. Okay. But at the same time, I don't really regret that.
Heartbreak, so someone broke up with you?
Yeah, it was long distance. It was off Instagram. But yeah, that was like something where like, and that was the first time I ever left the state for traveling. So like, if anything, like she opened me up out of that like comfortability.
Sometimes you need that. That's how I started traveling, was for a chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave me a one-way ticket to New York because she cheated on me. And then she felt like that was her way to redeem herself, was by letting me go stay with her in New York and or whatever. It was dumb. But we had been dating a year prior.
Wait, how old were you when this happened?
This was about 25. It was the first time I had ever left California, dude.
What?
Yeah, I just went out there for a girl. I was madly in love. I was telling you this earlier.
And she lived in New York, like New York City, right?
Well, no, she lived in Hoboken at first, which is like
Bullshit. I've been there.
It's the armpit of New York. You just take a train that goes into the sea. It's about
New Jersey.
It's basically about 6 minutes. But it's the Jersey. Have you seen the 25th Hour with Edward Norton?
No.
Anyways, it's a famous Hudson. Where it's located is a famous riverbank, where a lot of movies are filmed, where there's a river and you just see the city from the river. A lot of that's shot in Hoboken. Hoboken is also the home of Frank Sinatra. That's where he came from.
Yeah.
It's just this guppy college town on the border of New Jersey that isn't like grimy New Jersey. It's more like guppy-ish. It's more like college, white. I'll tell you how like backwards they are. Is like they're known for their St. Patty's Day. Because that bars line up at 7 a.m. They dyed the beer green. But I was already getting yelled at that I wasn't Irish and I wasn't allowed to walk around with them.
Funny note about New Jersey, smartest state in the country, apparently. According to New York Post, in 2019, they were the smartest state in the country.
New Jersey?
Yeah.
No way.
And it was because,
New Jersey.
I think of Jersey Shore, but at the same time, it was because they were going off of SAT scores and then other things having to do with education.
Well, Jersey people don't fuck around. I think, like, one thing that I've learned being in Jersey was Jersey brings a different type of guy.
Yeah.
He's like the Joey Diaz. He's the fucking
blue collar dude.
The blue collar guy that's straight the fuck up.
The people that don't travel, that don't live in New York, but they travel every day to work to get to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different type of guy.
Yeah. It's very Boston-y.
Like Jersey?
Jersey people.
Yeah.
Very Boston-y.
So the last one, okay, so then we had the heartbreak, the not taking the stand, of course, so what's number three?
I want to consider, again, the heartbreak a regret, because everything happens for a reason.
Okay.
But I will say, bombings.
Bombing comedy. How many bombs did you have this year, honestly?
A lot.
Really?
To the point where I couldn't count. There's this one bomb that I have.
What was your worst bomb?
The one that happened at Liam's, which was an Irish pub.
Liam's is still around?
No, it closed. But
this bombing, it had happened in 2019. You can't go farther back.
Oh, it happened?
No, because I'm saying the top best three and top worst three of 2019.
Of 2019?
Like, was there bombings this year?
I'm trying to think, like, show-wise?
Yeah, what was your worst bombing of 2019?
It was okay when it came to show.
I would want to defend you a little bit, because almost everybody bombs at Liam.
Okay, so Liam's is this piece of shit Irish bar. I would, in Colton.
On a Tuesday night.
Where, put it this way, there was this headliner that got, like, beat the fuck down there. For, like, doing crowd work. But and a biker gang jumped him.
But I was doing,
really?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
If you hear biker gang in comedy club, it's probably a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. But on Monday, it was a Tuesday. Sons of Anarchy was on at that time. And I remember, like, we had to compete with, like, one of their shows.
Uh-huh.
Like, if not the season finale, the show, the episode leading up to the season finale.
Wait, they would play at Liam's?
Yeah, and so fucking Derek's Rick. The guy that fucking ran the show, walking up in the middle of them watching it, he was like, "Hey guys, just want to let you know that we got a comedy show coming up, and like people are not even paying attention." And so by the time he goes up, does his jokes, when he comes back up on stage, they fucking go like, "Why the fuck is this guy ruining Sands of Anarchy for us?"
And first of all, what fucking bar plays a fucking show and people sit and watch? What the fuck? That is weird as shit.
So basically, I had to go up and compete against that. And then I remember.
So this is.
It's not your fault.
But
it's
this isn't really this is fault. In 2019.
But here's the thing. No, this was in 2014. And so I remember this guy goes like. This guy, like, I was talking about weed, and, like, I was talking about high, I think, because I was first year comic, I would try to look cool or something like that, but I did a joke, and it wasn't, like, me talking necessarily about getting high or anything like that, like, I did a marijuana joke, and then this one guy goes, like, yeah, you shouldn't be smoking because of work, and I was, like, do you mind if I ask where you're working? And he was, like, the railroad, and I was, like, I should say something right now, but at the same time, in the back of my head, I had nothing to say because he said railroad. And now that I'm looking back, I'm like, oh, I fucking could have said so many things about this dude's profession, about like how it's the last.
Does he seriously work at a railroad?
Yeah, he works on the railroad, which is like, if you
like, where is it? Like, aren't they done with the railroad?
Exactly.
What is he doing at the railroad? Like, putting pennies on the fucking track? Like, you know when you put the penny to see it getting flattened out? Do you ever do that?
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, it's just
fucking weird.
It's like, railroad is the last type of transportation that you need. And so that was the thing that, like, it still irks me to this day, where it's like, that was a bombing that happened, and it shouldn't have happened. And anyways,
I had a similar, like, situation. I was skating at this spot, right? So I'm doing my skate tricks, and there was this like leaf blower blowing leaves around me. And then he took his mask off and put the leaf blower down and goes, "You got to put your like kick your toe into it." Like, he was trying to like school me on how to like do it. But the problem is, like, I really knew how to do this trick. And so my thing was like, bitch, like, all right, do it then. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was like, I felt like he was just trying to like tell me what to do based on like what he saw, but not that he was an actual skater. But I don't know. Because, like, what he said, the logic of, like, what I know and what he knew just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
He was like, but just put your that's what I am doing. Bitch, you do it. Like, I'm like, how about this? I grab your leaf blower, I'll do the leaves, and then you fucking try the trick.
You're living vicariously through my tricks and skills.
I was just so annoyed because then I was like, who? It's kind of like the train guy. It's like, who leaf blows and puts it down? It's like if you were doing stand-up and a guy was like, the busboy puts the dishes away. He's like, tell the joke this way. Like, go back to fucking putting dishes away, dude.
Yeah, for real.
Like, shut your fucking mouth and know your place with your weird-ass job title and shit. I don't know. So it's the train, the heartbreak, and the fucking college. Those three were fucked.
No, third one, I gotta say, just not moving out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried moving out, but at the same time, when my mom
got cancer. Don't worry about that.
When my mom, well, here's the thing, my mom got cancer.
Oh, no.
No, but she's fine. She got surgery, so they removed it. They removed the tumor, and so when I moved back, I got stuck, and so that was the thing where, like, I've been trying to make it my mission to move back.
Dog, don't worry about moving out. Have you heard the Joey Diaz podcast recently?
No.
Dude, so funny. He goes, everybody wants to move the fuck out. Move the fuck out. I want to move out. There's nothing out there. He's like, you know what's out there? $1,600 for 1,100 square feet. And he goes, stay with your fucking mom. Who gives it? He's like, you actually get more fucking laid at home. Because you have to get more creative and shit. He's like, fucking don't pay rent. They're like, everyone wants to move out. Stay fucking home.
Do you have good family, good relationship with your family?
No, it's getting annoying now. Because
I mean, it's annoying. Like, that's family, but it's not like fight, right? It's not fight.
Well,
fight.
It's just like if I leave and then I come back home real quick, like I forgot something or something like that, I already see my mom going into my room.
Oh, it's just you don't have your privacy.
I don't have my privacy. And the thing is like she's trying to help, but at the same time, by her, in her logic, of,
yeah,
like,
you're still
to
like
help,
a little boy.
Yeah, she's also going through my shit. And so that's the thing where I'm just like, all right, I need privacy. I need space.
Okay.
I need to get the fuck away from you.
Okay.
So that's my
Okay, that's thing. Understandable.
Now, do you stay because you like, you know, a lot of people stay because they like, I never left my mom.
Yeah.
And it's because I just, I felt bad. I always felt like I even though I was at 30, like I was in my like 30s, right?
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, I opted out of going to college, staying in dorms, you know, like to just be with my, because that's all my mom had was herself. So I felt like moving out was, I was feeling guilty all the time.
And you know what? Okay, so for the longest time, that was what was keeping me at home. But what happened was ultimately like why her keeping like this year's theme of just like, constantly not giving a fuck about what I said, not respecting my boundaries. Her always stepping the line, thinking like, well, you know, I let you. And by the way, I pay her my share. She's not working. She's unemployed.
Okay.
So the fact that I'm able to like throw down money and I'm now independent.
And you're very generous. So I'm sure you put in for rent, like half or some shit.
I try to throw in as much as I can.
Yeah.
So like if she doesn't want to take it, then I'm like, all right, fine. But at the same time, she wants to throw that back in my face by like, well, you don't pay rent, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, all right, so that doesn't mean you can violate my privacy. That doesn't mean you can always like take the things from my room and then just totally break them later on. Like
that's pretty annoying. Like
my laptop charger, dude. Like my laptop charger, like she breaks that shit.
Why did she break it?
Because like, okay, so she has her laptop, which was also my sister's laptop. She took that over. So now that she has the same laptop as me, she essentially wants to borrow my laptop charger because she doesn't have one. And so now that shit is broken. Like from the, you know, the cords get kind of bent and shit like that. So with her, she broke my laptop charger. She always goes into my room. She tries to do another shit. And she justifies it all by her own means. And I'm just like, no, I'm done.
Are you the only bread and butter in your
family? That lives there? Yeah.
Oh wow!
And that's the thing where I'm just like,
so you're
at first I was
being baby.
I wanted to help you. I wanted to stay here and like look after you. But now I don't give a fuck what happened to you.
Is like, she an immigrant or she's like? American?
No, she was from here.
Oh okay.
And that's the thing. Like I don't give a fuck.
That's
what
weird.
Because
like if it's like my immigrant mom, like if she does all that shit, okay, it's normal.
Right.
Well, yeah, immigrants' moms are fucking weird.
But she was born here. And then she wanted to say, like, oh, well, you know, I was independent at 16. It's just like, well, you're very codependent now.
You're
like,
very intrusive, mom.
Exactly.
Well, maybe, like, move out, like, we were roommate. You know, dude.
Well, I know you were explaining you're looking for something.
Yeah, and one more thing that pissed me off. I kind of hold it. This is a deep scar in my life. I remember when I was writing in my joke book, I was writing a story about my dad, and I left my journal on the kitchen table. And then I remember, like, when I opened it back up, when I got back to it, there was a square drawn in my joke book. And that square was by her. And she said in that square.
She touched the joke book?
And she not only read my shit.
Oh, no.
She even wrote back in like a fucking YouTube comment. She goes, don't talk bad about your dad. He's a good person. No. Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, what the fuck?
That is like graffiti in a bathroom fucking stall.
Exactly. Like, and you're the owner of the fucking establishment.
I would be annoyed. Well, my girl too, right? Okay, so I was, at the time when I was living with my girlfriend, like, I had a journal full of, like, it's my journal, dude. There's a lot of creepy shit in that journal. I'll be straight honest. One of them was talking about having anal sex with a fucking, like, some girl that drove, like, came here, and we had sex, like, and it was very, like, intense, and I remember ending it. Like, I hope her asshole is okay. And she reread the excerpt to me. Like, I hope her asshole is okay. you know how bad that is to, like, you know, to have, like, someone read that and then have them read it back to you? I'm like, don't read my shit.
Yeah. That's like,
that is my journal. That is for me to look back one day to be like, oh, I did that. It's not a fucking novel, you know?
That's not good. That's not cool. Like, if it happened to me, I would.
And she got mad one night. We were, like, going out. She had it fucking folded in her back pocket. She brought it out and burned it.
What?
And, like, we just got really drunk one night, and then we're in a parking lot, and she just brings out the journal entry.
What?
And starts reading the last, and she's like, and that I went crazy. I hope her asshole's okay. She's like, you know what I think of her asshole? And lit it on fire,
that
dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was just nuts. Fuck, guys, if you're a mom, don't read our shit, man.
Yeah, for real.
Don't read it. It's not for you.
Like, okay, so like, a more successful relationship has something to do with trust, right? Yeah. A certain level of trust.
Yeah, don't read my fucking journal,
like,
man.
You don't trust your person, like your man or your girl. It's not a healthy relationship, you know what I mean?
Because essentially what you're being is like Amazon, and anytime we're thinking something in
it's
our
just
mind,
our nose
you're going to give us ads that we were just thinking. So it's like Big Brother type shit. Like, yeah. If we're just talking and we're having conversations.
I mean, you can't just say, oh, because I love you. You know, like, they always say that?
No.
Yeah, because
no.
I love you.
It's because you're fucking nosy.
Like, really love is like...
There's a reason diaries have a lock on it, right? It's like, it's because you can't read it.
It's for us.
Oh, God.
And that's the therapy of your version of it. Like, essentially, writing in a journal or a diary... Is a cheap person, is the poor man's version of therapy.
It's a poor man.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly.
And it's like even, like, you know, most males who are like, you know, they'll be like, oh, you have diary? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I had a friend make fun of me because, like, you know, we were at one time. I had a fucking diary and he found the diary. He's like, wow, you have a diary, bro? Yikes. What's wrong with having a fucking diary? But it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Like, I have a diary, dude. Like, you know, you just keep... The most machismo guy can't be like, yo, I wrote in my diary today And then I went to go fuck up John Jones, you know? Like, you can't have a diary and be a menace, you know? Like, you think thugs have diaries?
They're just right. They lay down in bed with their belly on the fucking mattress. And then they have their legs up while it's just, like, writing down in the
I don't know, dude. That one is pretty bad. The reading the journal, dude. And then commenting it in the joke book.
Like, it's a YouTube comment. That was so fucked up.
Have you said that shit on stage? That is very funny, dude.
No, I haven't.
This is your bit. This is your new bit.
This is a great bit. You could be like, hey, you know that those fucked up YouTube comments? Imagine if it was your mom writing it in your journal and shit. Like, so I fucking recently put my you tell the joke about your dad, and your mom's, don't talk about your dad like that. You're like, bitch, this is my journal. Like, this is not. You know, this isn't Instagram. This is very personal. You can even joke, and then you go, it has a lock on it and everything. Like, she picked the lock. I don't know. That's pretty funny as fuck. That's a funny fucking thing. I've never heard of that. Like, your mom reading your journal and commenting in the journal.
You tag yourself on Instagram.
And plus, I...
commenting on the journal. That part is just fucking...
No, actually, yeah, because I...
Next level
fucking... Yeah, like, I'm from Hong Kong, immigrant shit.
Yeah. You
know? Like, one of my cousin's moms go through all their letters, go through everything.
Dude, don't do that! What's wrong with people? That's invasion of privacy!
But you got that joke right, where it's like, you were on a phone with a girl, and like...
And that's a true story, yeah. So, like, I used to be... This is before cell phones. When you grew up in my day, like, you had to... you had a cordless phone.
Right.
And that was the thing. It was like, you would wait for... You had to wait for everyone to go to bed. Because everyone shared a line. So, like, let's say you're... Like, if that doesn't happen now, like, if Steve wants to fucking call or watch porn, like, I can't just come on and it's like... And be like, hey, get the fuck off Pornhub, dude. What the fuck are you doing? I need to use the internet. What the fuck? Get out there, Steve. Put your dick away. It's like, you can't just intrude on people. You know, that's what's crazy now is we have our own privacy, and that's why people are creepy. Because before, we all shared everything. So the phone was a huge deal because I wanted to use that phone to call girls.
Yeah.
And every time I'd like rap to a chick and feel like, oh, I was like Mr. Joe Cool, you know, my dad would jump on the line to humble me and, you know, talk shit to me, like, get off the phone. That's why I bought you a prepaid calling card. Like, go to the payphone and use the prepaid calling card. You know, like, this is a business line only.
Oh, my God.
Because she'd be like, you know, she'd be like, oh, yeah, like, tell me what your dick size is. And my dad's like, I need to use the phone to business. It's like, get the fuck away, you know? Like, he just comes on the line. So, I mean, that was the thing. Is just, like, there's that privacy. The privacy thing is annoying.
Yeah, it is.
So, what's up, Steve? We just got back from Hong Kong.
Woo! What was your top moments of the decade?
Yeah, we didn't hear your top. So Steve fucking just took we have 59 minutes left till the new year. We're gonna start live streaming about like 30. But the cool thing is Steve Lee just got off a plane. I knew you were out of the country because I texted this guy last week and he didn't respond. And then he like tagged himself in a photo in China and no wonder. But
I literally just landed, and I saw your text. Hey, Steve, you want to come by?
New
Year's Eve? And I was like, yeah, of course. And I literally landed in the airport.
He landed in the airport, and I had texted him. And so, he took the Uber here.
Yeah, so what happened airport. Is this trip was... Okay, so let me start with the bat, because... My dad passed away.
Yep. And Steve was here a couple podcasts ago, and he talked about that.
And if you have a small family, you know, like one of your, parents passed away, is a big deal.
Huge.
So it really just kind of depressed me. I was kind of depressed already, you know, as most entertainers do.
Yeah, we're all depressed.
So, I really didn't know how to handle it. And then... 2 months ago, my My mom changes her, like, she has someone who takes care of her
okay.
at her home, and she fired her. And she was so bad. Like, that lady was not really good. So I have to go back again to take care of her. That's why I kept this trip under the, what do you call, under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I didn't, put, and also Hong Kong has a riot right now.
Oh, yeah.
All the fucking business is stopped. Like, they were, like, business open, but, like, all the entertainment business is stopped.
So you're saying you're in Hong Kong and everything, the entertainment stuff?
Like, I remember because of the whole NBA talk of what happened when they got dragged in.
Yeah.
Hong Kong and China are not getting along right now, right?
Okay, yeah, so explain the whole Hong Kong thing.
It's like Puerto Rico versus the U.S.
Okay.
Hong Kong is part of China. It's like Puerto Rico is part of the U.S. But Hong Kong doesn't have a full right, but we can rule ourselves.
Yeah.
So what happened is, like, if you have, like, a business trouble in China and they want to arrest you, they can do it anytime, right, without proof.
Yeah.
You know, like, someone could just, your business partner could just bribe the official and say you didn't file your tax correctly, and they can arrest you, right? But in Hong Kong, they have, like, a Western-style justice system. So you have to go through evidence, you know, like the judge.
It's like justice.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened was China, the Hong Kong leader wanted to loosen that up a couple months ago. And people in Hong Kong were like, no way. Like, we're okay with, you know, being part of China, but we're not okay giving up our justice system.
So
that's why there were a lot of riots from time to time.
Is this still going on?
Yeah.
Stephen Briggs.
People are dying, too.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Stephen Briggs' girlfriend told me the story of how she goes
out. Is Stephen Briggs' girlfriend Asian?
No. But she goes out there for travel. Or, like, for fashion, excuse me.
Yeah.
So she works in fashion. And so she told me about how she goes to China. And essentially, when she wanted to go to Hong Kong, she gets a different TSA check.
Yep, yep.
And then when she's going back into China, they remove stuff from Hong Kong because it's like, oh, you can't bring in this magazine. Why? Because it has Hong Kong or it has Hong Kong propaganda.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Or, like,
yep,
you can't bring in this because it's from Hong Kong.
Yep,
and
yep,
so,
yep.
like, they literally take out stuff that's from that territory.
So, basically, we have our own freedom of speech. We have our own judiciary system, but we don't have our own military. We don't have our own foreign relations. So China took care of the military and the foreign relations. So right now the conflict is China want to slowly dissolve the Western style.
The democracy.
Yeah. Not democracy, but, like, freedom of the press and, you know, the judiciary.
So they're just trying to, like, come in to a country.
Yeah, they just want to be more China. Like, they want Hong Kong to be
And Hong
more
Kong's
China.
Like, bitch, step off.
No, the government is kissing China's ass, of course, right?
But it's the
people who are like, well, I mean,
because they're more progressive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's this time is different because the business people are afraid because they have business in China.
Yeah.
Imagine your business, like what I said, like your business China want to screw you over. What happened to many people who do business in China is they want to screw you over and they will, like, bribe the police. And they have the police arrest you with whatever charges they want, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Mexico or, like, part of
It's kind of crazy, though, like, to watch all those, that footage of what's going on. I don't know if it's over-exaggerated. They just focus on, like, the...
Well, I mean, right now it's slowed down because the one time the university... 2 months ago, the university students were trapped in the university, and the police mostly arrest most of them.
Wow.
So right now it's slow down, but you know you have apps nowadays. So they do the, you know, like they do the what do you call it? Like they pop up and destroy a few stores or like this you know, like banish a few police stations and then ran.
Wow.
So it really hurt a lot of the entertainment business.
Mm.
And so this trip I went back. There's no gigs for me. Like
there's no
zero gigs.
No,
I have to go out. Gigs. So I was like, I was doing family stuff anyway, so I was...
You didn't do any comedy at all out there?
I did, okay, this is interesting. So during my stay, I realized there's a city right across Hong Kong. It's called Shenzhen, China.
No, oh, shout out to Shenzhen. Yeah, yeah. That's my boy David. That's David's really? City. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So
you know about Shenzhen?
Of course.
Like, yeah, so Shenzhen is like, yo, Shenzhen is like the spot.
Yeah, so Shenzhen is almost like the Silicon Valley of China.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So so I realized they have Mandarin speaking open mic every night.
In Shenzhen?
I speak good enough Mandarin to communicate, but I wasn't like fluent.
You're doing stand-up in Mandarin? Bro?
So what happened was I went to the first open mic on Monday night. In Shenzhen, China.
Fuck.
And they're an emerging scene when that means even open mic, was people need to pay to get in.
Was there a lot
it's
of
It's like a real show. Yeah.
Was there a lot of comics?
Yeah. Yeah. They were no, like, even
were they Mandarin speaking comics?
Yeah, yeah, Mandarin speaking.
So like, there's a
Exactly.
No Chinese.
Exactly. So there were so there were Mandarin speaking comics. They weren't even serious. Those are all like amateurs, right? Because the scene is emerging, so there are more needs than the comics. But that means even fucking open mic.
Did you understand it?
Yeah.
Mandarin?
Yeah, I know Mandarin. So people come in and they didn't even know what's going on. People are doing fucking like comics are doing fucking new material in a real show. It's crazy.
So did they bomb?
Hell yeah.
Oh,
fuck yeah.
Man, especially in Chinese people.
So and also the host was terrible. Because the guy who I guess he was the only guy who available, you know what happened.
Yeah.
The show bit. And a guy like even worsened the crowd's mood. You know how bad it is? First set in Mandarin. I walked in, I walk up, say hello, tell them, like, Mandarin is not my first language.
Say it the way you said it that night.
大家好,我普通话不太好。
My Chinese sucks.
Yeah, my Mandarin sucks.
Okay.
So what happened was, they're clapping. Like, what the fuck? They're super polite, too. Like, they're fucking clapping and shit. When you're not killing, they clap. Like, what the fuck? Okay, so I did
So my how first, did you do?
So I did my first show. Because in Asia, when people, like, people with disability, they usually beggars.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, my bit is basically like, I've heard China's economy is growing, so I'm coming back to see if I get opportunities. So go in front of them like, hey, so I was trying to beg for money, and then use the hat.
So the hat,
and they're laughing because they wouldn't. Yeah. That's the first.
That's good. That's smart. Back. Yeah, and you're connecting to their.
Yeah, exactly. And then I joke about myself too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on, and the best bit was I have like a killer bit, my closer. It's basically like I waiting on a bus stop in the U.S. People are super friendly to me, even though I stand at the end of the line. So people just kept going, telling me, "Oh no, you go first." And then I'm embarrassed because I'm at the end of the line, and I told them those people back. No, you go. And then they tell me, you go. No, you go. And then the bus left. And they fucking love that bit. They fucking love that shit.
So you did good.
I did get, guess what happened?
Yeah.
After that open mic,
I got
booked for a show. My first open mic.
In Shenzhen?
Yeah, in Shenzhen.
Damn.
So on Monday, I did the open mic.
Dude, you know, David Lizard, I wish he knew you were there. He would have went and saw you. David.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the spot.
Well, maybe next time. So, and then I did another open mic. The second open mic, I did a third open mic. And it's funny. I think the economy is doing okay in China right now because of the trade war and all that. So I was, the second night, I was doing open mic in a financial buildings cafe. Like, the most
laughs?
Modern building you will ever see.
Were you getting laughs?
Yeah. I was doing
so.
Okay.
Tell me the difference between doing an open mic in China and doing one in America.
Well,
same?
It's really pretty much the same.
Yeah.
It's just like the formula is the same.
Is the like setup punchline?
Yeah, the setup punch is the same, but it just you got to know the language and the culture.
So would you say, like, and like, you won't even sound like you're bragging. Did you, being an experienced comic in America, did you?
Okay, let's say it's easier.
Like, were you funnier than the other homies there?
I wouldn't say that because they're, you know, like, they're like some local, guys. They're local guys who are strong. You know that. You know how that works. And they're always cocky, right? Like
they're
more veteranish local comics, always fucking cocky. Never talk to me.
Yeah,
and I use my Hollywood name a little bit, you know, like, oh, I did English comedy in Hollywood, you know, like, I guess that's also one reason I get booked, because, you know, like, the Hollywood name I was using a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall,
do they know Kill Tony?
They wouldn't know. Yeah, they wouldn't know.
Oh, shit.
Whoa, dude.
Whoa, party foul. Oh,
George Wang.
Oh, party foul.
Yep. Should I keep going?
No, yeah, keep going. Keep talking.
What a way to leave 2019.
So 2019.
We just dropped like a bunch of ice and drinks.
It's okay.
On the
it's
floor.
Okay. It's all. I broke the glass. It's 2019.
There you go. Anyway, so
I'm not
mad,
bro.
So it was really cool. Like, I got booked, dude. Like, the first open mic, you get booked
in
America.
China.
You know their market is so small. They like, some of the guys are running two shows per night. The same booker.
Okay.
Is running two shows. And he has, like, he didn't give me, like, the better show. He gave me, like, you know, like, the smaller one. And he had trouble to open the door on the second show because they were renting different business buildings. And the audience were fucking waiting for half an hour.
Wow.
And they were fucking pissed when it got into the show.
So it's like some shitty promotion.
Yeah. I was like, dude, I got to be the host. And by the way, the host was terrible too. So I got to, you know, they don't have experience. So I got to go there and please the crowd and all that.
Have you seen Ronnie Chang's new Netflix special?
No, I haven't.
I watched it today. Have you
what
seen
do you
it?
Think? I saw it. I liked it.
I really liked it. And I just eat.
I truly liked it.
It
caught me off guard.
Yeah, and I went in with
a
no
lot
expectations.
Better than no expectations.
And he, for someone that grew up in China, like, it was the
well,
type
he grew
of,
up in Malaysia.
But I felt like he, like, the whole holding the door thing, and he got personal. And I thought he did a great job of explaining, you know, for the non-Asian American audience.
He was a headliner in Australia.
He was very good at explaining shit.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
You know, his background's like, he's a lawyer. So he was already a smart guy to start with. And then, you know, one of these smart guys, they're usually good writers.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So, you know, the China experience, really one of the...
That's kind of crazy,
yeah,
though, man.
It wasn't my highlight of 2019, but...
All right, so give me your top
really
three.
Cool.
Let's go top three right
the
now.
The second highlight was...
You didn't even go with your first highlight. What's your three highlights?
Okay, I gather a group of amazing filmmakers. Well, by the way, through your cinematographer, Scott.
Okay.
Give it up for that guy.
Okay, shout out Scott Sakai, yes.
Yep.
Who I met at Saturday at your show.
Yeah, and he was actually nice enough. We did a podcast, and, you know, he's a serious filmer.
Yeah.
And he actually recorded the whole episode in 4K and fucking uploaded it to my podcast for my YouTube for my birthday.
Wow.
That was really nice.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, for a great person like this, he introduced me to another great director he's been working with. So we shot a short film for a film competition.
I saw it. They did a disability film challenge, which I thought should have won, but you guys didn't win, right?
We didn't win because I guess we didn't color correct it.
What?
We didn't have time, dude. My computer crashed in the morning.
But quality and content-wise, I felt like those...
And also, I think we didn't have enough story on people with disability.
Really?
Yeah, most of the stories about...
So who won the challenge?
I don't want to tell you my feelings.
Because it's probably dog shit.
Okay, no. The guy who won, the person who won is really good. Like, they're, like, already major filmmakers.
Okay.
So they got, like, enough resource to make like real HBO level short film. They think got about
a,
it.
A budget, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not just budget, like, but they already have the network already.
Right.
But the second and third people, like, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want
to
talk.
Oh,
more.
And you guys didn't even get to the top three.
Yeah, we didn't even. We weren't.
I thought
even
your
fucking,
shit was pretty high.
I know. I thought our shit did good, but we didn't. We weren't even fucking nominated.
Damn.
The guy who run the show, who run the competition, was like, Steve, he called me. Like, he literally called me. Hey, Steve, I'm sorry. You guys are very close to be nominated. I thought your film was really good, but then Jim just didn't, you know. You were very
maybe
close.
A rejection call, not just
Okay, so you're top.
Anyway, you know, like, what happened was, the first day we do the writing, that was the call from my mom. My dad passed away.
Okay.
And my dad was already in Hong Kong. And I was like, I was numb.
So that definitely dampened the mood.
I tried not to because, first of all,
No, your dad died. You can't.
Yeah. I mean, I was numb. I'm
it's hard
kind
to fake that
shit. You know, I'm the kind of guy who's numb in the beginning. You know, like Chinese dude.
Yeah.
Like, we try not to get too emotional at the beginning. You're just regular dude, you know. So I try to calm down because I got all these amazing people to work for this project.
Right.
I can't just fucking run away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you had like your dream cast.
Exactly. It's my fucking Hollywood, my mini Hollywood dream come true. You know what I mean? So I told the director and the writers, hey, this is what happened to me. Do not tell the actors, because the actors come in the next day to shoot. Don't tell them. They don't need to know. I don't want to affect their performance. So that's it. Boom. We got the things done. Boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
And it just didn't. So.
And
so,
I mean, I was proud of the team, and I was proud of me how to handle the whole thing.
Well, okay. So that's good. So you were able to essentially just produce your own content.
And the third one, I think, was I did my solo show. The one
your solo show.
We were.
I think, but you
we
right
were
now
in
you
same festival, right?
Right now, you just told me two. One though, right?
Like one is the.
So your solo show, how did that go? So you did a one man act. We were in the same festival.
Yeah, 40 minutes ish.
And it was different because I remember you hired a director and you went a different approach, right? Like
more acting,
more acting,
like
less comedy.
Memorizing more like stage work. More like, you know, like video background. All the,
really? Oh,
all
wow.
The lighting has to be correct. You know, theater.
Yeah.
Theater shit. And then I also did my comedy. And it gives me a whole picture. It actually gives me a good reel to demonstrate my acting. Like, I cry on stage.
Yeah, that's great.
So
you did your one-man show.
Oh, you know what? Can I squeeze you the fourth? The fourth good thing.
I don't even know what the fucking third is. What the first?
Okay, so on Kill Tony, there's a number one podcast in this country, and I won the competition, and they flew me to fucking New York.
Yeah, which by the way, this guy, if you guys listen to Kill Tony, it's a popular show. You know, I mean, Steve is he's a fucking staple to that show.
I mean, give it up.
He's very well known.
Give it up for. Joe Gomez, who run the Scan Fest.
Yeah, so he got flown out to do the Scan Fest in New York.
And the Q
for
Tony,
a week.
Tony Hitchcock.
That's pretty sick,
Ryan
though.
Ryan,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Was Tony at that Scan Fest?
Yeah.
Did
the
he headline?
Was there. They have so many headliners.
Did Jeremiah Watkins was there?
Yeah.
So
yep.
you were like, you told me there was a dude there got a standing ovation.
Oh, Godfrey.
Godfrey's so good.
All the headliners, you know. Louis C.K. got...
Louis C.K. was there?
Yeah, Louis C.K. did a surprise appearance.
Standing ovation,
of course.
No way! You got to see Louis?
I missed it. I fucking missed it!
Oh, no.
Because I didn't know.
But Louis got
a
standing ovation?
Yep.
Crazy. That's bananas.
Yep.
And
Godfrey. And I mean, this is like,
Tony Hinchcliffe is standing ovation?
No, actually his show was bad because all the wannabe, you know, the wannabe comics want to sign up and everybody were terrible. So I was like the last guy.
So Tony's was bad. Was Jeremiah good?
Yeah, no, the show was good, but like the people who try to get up.
Did Dave Attell get it set?
Dave Attell. Yeah, yeah, I saw him too. And the same golf reach.
Standing ovation?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he got. I think they were doing new material.
But what did Godfrey do to get a steady? I mean, Godfrey's amazing.
Godfrey was doing his typical 1-2 liners.
Damn.
Yep. Anyway, I mean, I was so proud that I got into the Skankfest, dude. I got into next year's too. You know that?
Yay. So you're in there for sure next year?
Yep. Yep,
damn,
for sure.
Has the Kill Tony helped your comedy at all? Like,
it helped quite a bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So you're getting more bookings, more
not overall, but like at least Skankfest and also some recognition.
So, like, let's say next year, are they gonna hook you up still? Do you get paid?
Yeah, they will help me on the flights.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's fucking great. Yeah, man. Good job. Dude. So yeah, you got those four.
You know, here's the thing. Like, they almost got in trouble. Why? Because all the people complaining about Louis C.K., the Shane Gillis guy, you know, like he almost got into the SNL.
So Shane Gillis
said
was
a lot
on...
of racist Chinese jokes, you know, the podcast
did
before.
So Shane Gillis was on Skankfest?
Yeah, of course.
And they were mad.
And then there were people who shitted on the Skankfest. And then on Twitter, I was not defending, but like I was like, hey, I'm a Chinese disabled comedian on the Skankfest. How can you fucking, you know, like, shit on the whole festival when I'm a Chinese disabled guy on
there? So they were shitting on it because of Shane Gillis and his...
Yeah, they were shitting, trying to shame on them. But I'm like, you can't just do that. Like, they also book different kind of comic, too. So there are other people like, hey, yeah... That's right. Like, what the fuck? Like, there are different kind of comics on the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I mean, you know, there was, like, a big ups and down last year from, I mean, this year.
So, the three worst, obviously, your dad going.
Yeah, my dad's gone. The depression shit really hits hard. The last couple of months.
Wow.
I you know what? Here's the funny thing. I can't think of the third worst.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the dad dying, that's it. That's like 1, 2, and 3, right? It doesn't get.
And I'm worried about my mom because she's pretty sick because her whole body's pain aching.
Because of him dying.
I think emotionally affected her.
Yeah.
She's you know, old school, old people, like they try to pretend that they're not, you know, they're okay. Is.
Yeah.
I'm worrying about. Oh, dude, let me tell you a story. Other than Mandarin open mic, I did a Cantonese one, a local Hong Kong language Cantonese, and met a Hong Kong movie studio head.
Okay.
3 years ago, I almost opened for one of his top singers.
No way.
2 years ago, I stupidly said no because. He told me to do it in
I think I remember this.
Yeah,
guy
he
too.
Told me to do it in Cantonese. So
saw you in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I regretted it. So every time I go back to Hong Kong, I try to do Chinese language. So he took me to the places he pick up chicks. Oh my god! Like those, you know, those like high class nightclub where the rich people, ultra rich people, pick up models.
Yeah,
it took me to those places. And
were they really hot?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were like modeling
Asian model hot.
No, white model like in Hong Kong.
Oh shit!
Yeah, so like he introduced me to like the manager there. And they treat me like a VIP. I'm totally not used to it, dude. You know what I mean?
Hey, that's cool, though. Fuck it, man. You know, I'm actually, I'm pretty jealous of that, like, being able to go to Hong Kong and experience, like, an open mic in a different language. Like, you know, that's something that most comics don't really do. Like, I don't know a lot of, I know, like, you know, bilingual Spanish comics. But other than just a general comic, I don't really see them doing like another form of comedy in a different language.
You know, who's the guy? Eddie Hazard?
Eden Hazard?
Yeah, he does French. He doesn't speak a word of French. But because of comedy, he learned French. And tried to do French stand-up comedy.
Damn.
Wait, that's the same idea.
Izzard. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the soccer player.
No.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, what were your three?
My top three?
Yeah. For the decade, if not 2019.
Okay, 2019, this one's pretty... Okay, I just put this out. Okay, the one of them was... one of my biggest dreams ever was to be able to produce shit. So I essentially was given the opportunity to become a producer.
Whoa.
So for the first time in my life, like, you know, there's always, I want to start my YouTube channel. I just never wanted to start it because I just didn't want to do amateur, something amateur on YouTube. So I actually got funded.
Wow.
To produce videos, and we were given a budget. I was able to hire my friends.
Wow.
And that's how I met Scott. So that was cool because that was a dream that I saw manifest itself. I don't know if I told you guys this, but I scored a lead in an Apple commercial.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So I went to an audition. I went to three callbacks. The last callback, they had all the actors stand in a line. And they said, what was your biggest challenge you've ever faced and how'd you overcome it? So I was the first one out the gate and I just went right into my mom's cancer and everyone else kind of had that answer. Like it was either like a guy meeting, you know, finding a stepbrother, graduating college, but mine was obviously the most real and most harsh. So I remember leaving that audition thinking like I had blown it because
it's too real.
It was just too dark.
Yeah.
And then right when I thought, you know that I threw it away, I had a producer thank me. And I go, why'd you thank me? He's like, that was the best response we've heard all day.
Wow.
And I go, wow. And I literally, because I got so choked up in the middle of my speech or whatever, I couldn't even finish.
You remember and what you said?
I don't remember. I just remember by the end. You know when you like cry talk?
Yeah.
And you, I never mind. I can't finish. You know what I mean? Like, and I wasn't acting. I got choked up and I couldn't finish my sentence. And I think they were really taken back by that, you know? And then, the last thing was, fuck, there's so many, dude.
It was a good year for you, I remember.
Yeah, I was teaching skateboarding to a high school. That was weird because it was like...
And you taught skateboarding, which you're very passionate
about. Yeah, so then like... Kids. Yeah, I was now because of that, I'm teaching kids. I'm on sign business teaching kids. And our high school won the first ever gold medal in LAUSD history of a skate... It's like... If the first ever basketball tournament, your team won.
Wow.
So I got to be a part of history on that part. Like Steve, I had the solo show. Let's see, the three worst things. Okay, the three worst things was not going through a breakup, but like what I said. You know, I am involved and in love with someone, but, you know, I just, sometimes people can find things they like and then not necessarily it's, you and that person that make things complicated. It's always an external force. So for me, it's always a pattern. It's like a parent that doesn't like tattoos or it's just something other than. So for me, my love life is a little janky. And so I came across something like that. Like I met someone I really like, but then, you know, the reality kicked in and then, it just seemed a lot more of an uphill battle than I thought. So that was kind of a bummer. The other two was, I did this audition for a comedy showcase. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not into those things. It was one of those things like I try to talk myself out of and then I went and did it anyways. And then I regretted doing it because I realized like I'm not a 2-minute punchline, you know, I was at the market and, you know, like, I mean, It just isn't my style. I just remember being in a room full of like every single fucking comedian you could think of, and then just not doing what I know I was capable of. That was defeating. And then the last one was this show I got booked on. That was a sports bar. It was a secret hideout for 49ers fans.
Oh.
And like, fuck 49ers fans. They are the rudest people ever.
Aside from Raiders, right?
I mean, it was so bad to the point where the booker had to like scold them like a teacher. And the best way, like my friend put it, was no one here came for comedy. This is for the 49ers. So, I mean, where it gets creepy is like, imagine trying to do your comedy in front of a fan of fucking sports fanatics.
No, I'm good.
You can't.
Well, you have one bit.
Unless you can just talk about sports shit, they will go crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about the 49ers. So, you know, long story short, like, it was the only bomb I had this year that was like an actual bomb. And it wasn't like bombing because like my shit sucked. It was just because every circumstance was wrong. From the way they like threw a show there, from like the no gauge where they leave the TVs on, the acoustics were off.
Oh, that's the worst.
I mean, everything. Dude. I mean, even like headliners rolled through and died.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It was just not set up for comedy.
It's one of those bad casino gigs.
Yeah, it was really bad. So those three stuck in my mind was, you know, the fucking, the relationship thing and those two bombings.
So what are you expecting to go forward with in 2020?
I just, you know what I want to do is a little more producing. I would definitely want to, I'm looking into producing two monthly shows and then eventually trying to get a very good solid hour, like have Scott film it and like,
Do a special.
Right?
Yeah, I want to. I want to.
Dude,
want to
you're ready.
I want to do my 1 hour, and I want to do it within my own jurisdiction.
And there's comedians that I see on YouTube releasing their specials, such as my co-host on my podcast, Fear LA.
Shout out. Yeah.
So Mark Gonzalez last year, or I should say in 2019, released his special via YouTube and via Pornhub.
Nice.
So, like, with that, just knowing you could go the independent route and, like, make your own. You have the equipment with Scott. Like, you can do whatever you want.
That's what I
want
to do.
Yeah.
I really just want to put something out.
And you're very likable and, like, very.
Thanks, man.
So, you're like you said, dude, you're not, like, one of those one-two-liner. You're a comedy special type comic.
Yeah, and I just feel like I need to raise the bar for myself.
You need a good like long tape.
Yeah, like it's time to level up on comedy. Like I'm like I've been doing it long enough to realize like out of everything I do a lot of things. This is where I shine the most, and this is where I feel like I'm the best. I love skating. Don't get me wrong, it's my passion and shit. But I think I get more out of. Like, I can get farther in a actual career with comedy than anything I do. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, people out there, you have a passion. And whatever it is you're doing, there's something that you can do that just is exceptionally different that no one else can do. And I feel like comedy has always been my calling. I mean, even being able to sit here with like two of you, both of you guys is like why I love comedy.
Aww.
I mean, honestly, because I mean, we're all in the same motherfucking boat. Like we just got done talking about, like Steve just got done talking about doing comedy in China, you know, and Zach just got done talking about bombing and then, you know, doing his 5 years. And I just realized that no one who doesn't do comedy can really relate to what we do. It is just a different fucking form.
It's the weirdest.
It's just, yeah, it's the world, weirdest dude. World form of public speaking.
Because people who don't, people don't understand comedy. They think that you can just go up and make people laugh.
That's annoying. That's annoying. How many people do we... I know we've all been there where we've had to reality check someone like that. Who thought that it was so easy to do?
There's this one meme. And
like, they're so funny. Like, I'm so funny. You should hear like the stories I have. All right, really? All right, let's. All right, let's.
But it reminds me of this one meme that's my new favorite meme. It's of Mel Gibson sitting down in the director's chair, and then sitting to the left of him is Jesus. And obviously, this is from the set of Passion of the Christ. But it goes Mel Gibson, and the words say right underneath him is like, the bar patron that thinks he can do comedy, and it's like, Jesus is me.
Yeah.
Doing all the comedy.
You can't do comedy,
like, he's
dude.
Bleeding. He's, like, got the throne of the thorns of crown on his head and everything. It's just, like, it just goes to show, like, it looks easy. And especially, like, looking back, like, there are certain headliners that made it look so easy and so attainable that it's just, like, that was the thing that got me attracted to comedy is thinking I can do that, you know?
And then you get into comedy and you realize you can do it, but you have to do it so much.
Yeah.
To, you know, really do it.
You know, like in the beginning, when you're, well, I was in the Bay Area before, and you're trying to audition for a club.
Yeah.
And I don't want to name which club, but this one club owner she tells you the honest answer. And so many new comics couldn't take it, dude. She literally tell everybody, if you don't have 2 years on your stripe, you can't be a host. You can't be a regular night host.
Was it the punch?
2 years.
Was it the punch?
No. That is, no. The punch, they wouldn't even consider.
Yeah, they would stay away from it. Right?
The punch probably 6-7 years. If you're like already a regular headliner.
But that doesn't include the people that are going in on Sundays for the auditions, right?
Yeah, exactly. So like the punch only book people who are really legit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm talking about another smaller club. I can't say where. But now I think back, like they said 2 years, right? Oh, that's right. Because at the beginning of your first 2 years, you're doing all these independent shows, doing it with your friends or your friends' crowd. You think you're funny, right? They're laughing.
Right.
But when you do a regular pay gig, when they're not within your age group, they're like, you know, older people who can pay.
Yeah.
Or someone who are only there for another headliner. When you do your dive bar jokes, and most of the time, it won't hit them.
It won't affect them at
exactly.
all. Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, oh, now I look back. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, also, one thing.
All right, guys, we're going live. Just to let you know, we're going to be live on the IG right now. So we're going to do, guys.
I thought you know, we're doing Periscope. No?
We are in Periscope. We're in the middle of a podcast. You guys are just fucking... basically eavesdropping in, but for everyone who just joined, if you want to stay on, we're gonna do the countdown, and we're all gonna fucking do a toast at midnight. We do have Steve Lee, Zach.
I don't drink that much, but like for tonight,
we're getting fucking raped tonight, wine. And this is what's cool too is that if you guys want to stay on. I know you guys, there's probably a bunch of shit you have to do. You're watching Rockin' with Dick Clark. But yeah, if you want to hang out with your boys, we are doing a podcast. We're not doing prank calls.
Hey, Zach, come closer.
So you guys are just kind of like Zoom. You guys are just kind of like,
I got an idea.
Eavesdropping for the first half. So, I mean, I'm not going to hold it up to you guys if you don't want to stay on.
But, what's up? Type up your messages.
Let's get a little closer, guys. I'm gonna do a refill on the drink. Give me a sec.
Like maybe a year ago, so I haven't been on Scope for a while. But you guys, you grew your hair.
Yeah, I did. I grew my hair.
Long hair, right?
Long hair, don't care.
Cool.
Do you like the long hair or you like the short hair? You like everyone? That's cool. We love you, Mika Moons.
Hey, Zach, sit maybe like here.
So, I mean, I would say for you, what we're trying to ask everybody right now, the 10 minutes, what are the top three things of 2019 that you, your top three and your worst three?
My top three is that I became awakened about not being afraid of pursuing my dreams.
Okay, what would that be?
I don't want to say, because when you put it out in the air, people may just have negative spirits about themselves.
Don't worry about it. Or
you could be doing the law of attraction.
Girl, you know you're good here. You're good here.
Inspire a lot of people.
You're talking to three fucking assholes whose jobs is to make people laugh. So, I mean.
Well, I just want to help everybody that I can in my life.
Okay, that's good. And so your top three is you landed your dream job. You want to help people out. Is there anything in 2019 that you regret? I mean, did you do abort a child? I mean, what's going on here?
I don't have three, but I have one. What I've learned is that I'm gonna not judge anybody and let them be themselves because that's the only way anyone ever evolves.
Is just by being yourself. Steve, hold on. Let me.
Okay, that's good.
You want me? Maybe we can get all again this way. Oh, there we are, guys. We're all in this way. Is this better, guys? Can you guys hear us? Okay, too. We good? All right, Shay. What's going on, Shay? How you doing? You were in Puerto Rico, right? Yeah, I saw you out there. The Cajungas were coming out and everything. Holy shit, you were in the club. You had two guys on the side of you on the selfie cam and shit. Let me hear about this. What's going on? So you guys are ready? Guys, we got 8 minutes till the motherfucking countdown. Now,
California,
so what's going on right now is we're on two different platforms. I'm actually live on my podcast, and if you guys don't follow me on my podcast, it's Hang With Wang on iTunes, and it's Hang With Wang on Brazzers and Pornhub as well. So do me a favor, if you do have iTunes, just search Hang With Wang, and you'll be able to hear this podcast live. So Shay, what's going on? Let me hear the top three, the best of, and the best three and the worst three. We got 7 minutes. So you.
Okay, let's see what we have here. Best three things that happened this year. For me, would be, spiritually, I grew a lot. So that would be number one. That is number two, I think. I went from being so much work to being, you know, more free and maybe open to a relationship, you know, before I was like, I work too much, I don't want to. You know,
be in a relationship. Did that guy in your IG, did he take you home on the Instagram? The guy in Puerto Rico? Did you get it in Puerto Rico is all I'm saying. Was there any? No? Come on, Shay, you need to get it in. I think it's been too long. 2019. You get
some third world pussy there.
You need that third world. You need that third world penis and shit. That hard labor, penis, you know? That blue collar cock and shit. I'm just playing. But okay, so your top three was, branching out, be more open.
Someone's typing, what do you say?
Now, what are the worst three?
Okay, with, you know, females hating and stuff, it's still hard because I like to have friend girls, but they don't see me that way.
Hey, can I speak to her?
Yeah, please.
You know what? Like, many moons ago, like, when I was younger, well, I'm still young, but, like, you're the kind of girl that, well, there's a girl that looked like you that I used to date, and she was in love with me. I was in love with her. I made her famous, but, yeah, I mean, don't even waste your time on things that are not gonna make things happen for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure that you meet people that are, like, cool. And then also investigate your astrological sign. I never believed in that shit. And then I saw mine, and I was like, oh, my God.
And what's your what's your
astrological sign?
I can't, because I'm the goat. Well, I guess I said it.
He's getting the champagne. Yeah, keep talking. Champagne,
guys. So you're a cancer? Is that what you're saying?
Last question. Nothing.
You're a cancer?
Yeah, girl. I'm talking to her.
I know, but dude, how can you say you're the goat if you're not a cancer?
You got the champagne. You got the champagne popping. Hey, everybody out there, if you got some champagne.
Keep talking. Like, persevere. Like, I'm, like, in a transformation, really. Like, I've never had bullshit in my life, really, but, like, I always got personal about it. And then it wasn't, I've never had a bad life, but, you know, we are sensitive. And then I was like, oh, my God. And then I realized that you're the goat. That's who, I'm the head of everything. And I knew, but I never knew.
Did you just say the goat? G-O-A-T?
Yeah, I'm the beginning of the cycle of life. All right. I didn't know, though. All
right, guys, we are waiting here. Everyone, we got to get some glasses. Steve, grab your glass.
I got it.
You got a glass? No, you got to kill that wine.
Oh.
I guess I'll chill and bring the heaters and tell
yourself. All right, guys, we got the champagne ready to go. We got how many minutes left before countdown? Hold on. We're about to go on the countdown together, y'all. This is how it's going to fucking get down and shit. Everybody out there, dude, we're doing the countdown. It's 2020 in Houston. We got 3 minutes, you guys. Ready.
Okay, let her keep talking. Let her keep talking.
Everybody on stage is ready. You can feel the excitement. Lucy.
Okay, guys, we got 2 fucking minutes. Hold on. BTS is on stage.
My family's watching at home. This is
college.
Thank you for having me. I'm just like.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been on. Is it Periscope?
No, man, no, you're right. Guys. Guys, it's almost 2020. We're about to do the countdown. It's going to be New Year's, guys. All right, let's get the champagne going. All right, we got a minute, guys.
BTS to celebrate. Post Malone celebrate.
Got the champagne.
Get your alcohol ready.
Great job, all of you, tonight on our stages. Thank you so much for being here to celebrate.
Champagne, guys.
All eyes are up.
Oh, shit, here you go.
Right.
1 minute, guys.
1 minute. Okay.
1 minute.
We will talk after.
We'll talk. We'll talk after. We gotta wait for countdown, you fucks. Alright, here we go, guys. It's coming. We got 1 minute. Yo, everybody on here, start. Let's start hitting the motherfucker. Get your motherfucking hand on the screen. Let's go. 2019. Fuck it all. Fuck the bullshit, the breakups, the college, the money, the jobs. It's a new year, it's a new day. We got 46 seconds. Woo! We're going live on the podcast, on the Periscope. Yee! Come on in, Spidey. Your neighborhood Spider-Man, dude. Come on in, dude. Glad you could step away from X videos and be here with us tonight. 27, guys.
What did it say?
26, 25, guys, this is it. 20, ready? 17,
16,
count this shit down. 13, ready, guys?
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, happy new year! 2020, bitches! Woo! I love you guys! Yeah!
I just want to say, listen, Periscope,
I love all you motherfuckers. You guys all are fucking beautiful. Fuck whatever happened in 2019. Your boyfriend left you. You got fucking chlamydia. Who gives a shit? That's all in the past now. You lost that job at Arby's? Fuck it. There's better things on the horizon. Invest in stocks. Fucking save your money. Move out of the house. Ah, get it. Fucking that girl you like at the mall? Take her out, but don't date rape her. That's creepy. If she doesn't like you, get Tinder, you fuck. Come on. Ah, fuck. Ah, shit. Ah. Yes. We are here, guys. Listen. Listen. I love you all. We will be back here, Mika. Happy New Year. We are about to call a couple friends.
Let's
get it straight right here. Are you out? Yeah, I'm out. Working. Okay. What? Yeah, 9 a.m. What's up, BTC? It's Big Lee. Just want to say Happy New Year to all you guys. 2020 right now is going up. I got Steve Lee. I'm Zach out.
This is incredible, Ryan.
Too, I was talking to people
early in the
morning.
Yeah,
hey, you know what? I might.
You have to go home
with him? Can I drop me off at your place? I'm not at my place.
Well, I was going to have to stay home.
I'm just worried about checkpoints.
I mean, you can literally just drop me off.
No, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, where are you
again? I mean, like, this is north. Like, this is Boston.
Yeah.
This is all north.
Yeah.
Like, are you on Highway 10?
Yeah,
no, I'm on Highway 10.
We did it.
I don't drink that much.
Okay, thirsty little spin goblin. I want you to pedal into the next dimension. Get it! Spin! Uh-oh! Carmen's calling the hut. Give her the hint of shame. Spin! Spin till you bleed!
Don't ride a bike of shame. Come to Planet Fitness and find your own life with tons of equipment and free fitness training. Right now, join Planet Fitness and get your first month free with this exclusive New Year's Eve offer. Text 2020 to 33415.
Well, it finally happened, Roger, where somebody burned down my she-shed.
Nobody burned down your she-shed, Cheryl.
Well, my she-shed's on fire.
Your she-shed was struck by lightning.
Zachary, is my she-shed covered by State Farm?
Your she-shed's covered, Cheryl.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shed.